Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here right after Thrones. Matt Dath, Tim Curry here joining you every week, 5-10 minutes after the episode, reacting. Curry, you're on the speakerphone today. How you doing?
I'm shook right now. Right. I mean, that was amazing.
It was absolutely.
I'm stunned.
That's unbelievable. We got the tweets out. The boys are wheeling all episode. The tweets are flying in. We're right in our natural habitat here. So let's jump to where we always start, which is just the obvious layup, the name of the episode, and you just run with it, brother. Go ahead.
Title of the episode: Beyond the Wall. Plain and simple. The boys were out beyond the wall, and shit went down.
It was unbelievable. So go ahead. Where do you want to start? Do you want to go chronologically? Because it was not exactly energetic action from the get go. That's for sure.
I mean, I think let's chronologically. Let's just go kind of storyline by storyline here, because there was all. So I'll break it down. Just the storylines we had tonight. We had, you know, number one is John and the boys up north. Number two, which ended up kind of, you know, overlapping there, was Daenerys and Tyrion and Dragonstone. Daenerys coming up. And then number three was Sansa, Arya, Littlefinger, Brienne, Winterfell.
No King's Landing.
And that is all we had tonight.
Exactly.
So there was no...
It was a three-course meal, and it was a mighty three-course meal.
There was no Bran, thank God. There was no King's Landing, no Cersei, no Jaime. We still don't know where Euron is. We haven't seen any sign of... what's his name, of the Unsullied,
Sam as well.
There's no Sam either. So just the big three tonight, which is great.
Yeah, three-course meal, and it was beautiful. So where do you want to start? Go chronologically, or you want to start storyline by storyline?
I think just, let's go storyline by storyline, and I don't know. Should we build up here to the big finish, or should we just go off this energy we have right now?
Let's just go off the energy, brother. It feels too right. So go ahead.
Oh man, so I'm just gonna lay it out. We had the Suicide Squad, Avengers, A-Team, whatever, you know, analogy you went with. We had, you know, the boys. We had Jon. We had Tormund.
The boys
were
real.
We had Beric Dondarrion. We had Thoros of Myr. We had Gendry. We had the Hound. There's seven of them. And then we also had like Johnny Rando. We had a couple randos who were just there so that people died that didn't have names.
They were rolling with hoods up and they were getting sloshed.
Yeah, it was just, you know, anonymous guy who was signing up on this mission to die.
Yes.
But let's just start out, you know, beginning of the episode with these guys.
It's just banter, dude.
We saw some great guy talk, some locker room talk, some great banter, some great conversations, and just the dynamic of the group, you know. Everyone has some sort of connection. Whether it's just guys being dudes. Yeah, they all have some sort of connection. Whether they hate each other for some reason, or you know, we have like when Tormund and the Hound are talking, and they both have a connection with Brienne. Yes. That was pretty cool. We have Jorah and Jon talking. They got the Longclaw scene. So there was a lot to dissect with the just strictly dialogue as they're making their trek up north.
Exactly. They're like going through their LinkedIn profiles, seeing connections, seeing where they used to work, where they cross paths, and it's beautiful.
And I thought I like that stuff. You know, I mean, obviously the action is amazing, but I love, you know, just a good conversation that reveals some plot details, making connections.
Yeah, drawing on past seasons.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I'll start with first one was Tormund and the Hound.
Yes.
And theirs was just, you know, some comedic relief, some guy talks, some banter, and then Gendry was in there too a little bit.
Yes.
Talking about how cold it was. He's never been north.
Never saw snow.
And then, you know, Tormund, he's home, dude. He loves it. He's like, oh man, I can't breathe down in the south.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and John's like, you haven't been south. And he's like, well, you know, you're south.
Yeah, Winterfell.
But yeah, just some of the stuff between Tormund and the Hound. The whole Brienne thing. Tormund is like, you know, oh, I got my girl Brienne back home in Winterfell.
He's full fledged.
I mean, he doesn't even say Brienne. He's just describing, oh, this big blonde girl. You know,
I don't even know if he knows her name.
Yeah, right. We're gonna have amazing children. They're gonna conquer the world. And you know, and then the Hound is like, you know, wait, you're talking about Brienne of Tarth. And he's like, you know her. And he's like, yeah, you know, she's this, she's that, she's, you know.
Yeah.
And Tormund's like, oh yeah, you do know her. Just some good stuff there.
Yeah. Gendry's all pissed about him being sold from the Brothers Without Banners, correct? To
yeah, he's going off on that, and then you know the Hound's chiming in like, "Oh, you were stripped naked and you're still alive. Doesn't sound too bad."
Exactly, and
then, the Hound's actual quote, he says, "You know, oh well, he's been killed 6 times. You don't hear him bitching."
Exactly. And we're talking about Barrett Dundarian, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's just straight locker room talk, straight banter. They're yucking it up. It's fun, and it goes till I literally wrote this down here, because I looked down. I was kind of thinking, all right, we're getting a lengthy episode, but we're pretty deep in, and these guys have just been, as far as Beyond the Wall, it's just been banter filled. And
yeah, and then before we keep moving on, I just want to touch on John and Jorah's banter, because that was a little deeper than the other guys.
Oh yeah, it was.
Because of their connection. So as we know, you know, Jorah's father was the Lord Commander of Night Watch, J.R. Mormont.
Yep.
And he gave Longclaw, which is the ancestral sword of the Mormont, he gave it to John. He replaced the pommel. It was a bear. He changed it to a wolf for John. And John tried to give it to Jorah. He said, you know, your father gave it to me. It's yours. It's been in your family. It's yours. And Jorah refuses. He says, you know, I shame my house, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was a disappointment of a son. Mm-hmm. It's yours. May it serve you and your family well. You and your children.
Yeah, have children and shit.
So that was a good moment there. And then the one connection I made, they didn't bring it up. They mentioned it briefly, but John didn't bring it up, was how both Jeor Mormont and John both died from mutinies of the Night's Watch.
Yes.
So he said, you know, it's I can't think of a worse way to die. That's what Jorah said. And I'm like, wow. It was like a light bulb in my head. I don't know. It was like, wow, that's the same way John died. I don't know why he didn't say anything about it. He didn't even like let on that was, you know, how he died.
How he went out. Yeah. He's not big on talking about that.
Not at all. We even see Daenerys making some discoveries on that later.
Yes, we'll get to that real quick. But yeah, so then we get this bear, this ice bear, which came out of nowhere. And it was just a little bump in the road, it appeared. But there was a hesitation from the Hound I saw there, right? I mean, what was good with that?
Yeah, the Hound, I mean, we know he's afraid of fire. He's had his experience, you know, he was burned as a child. And then even in the battle, he peeked out because of the fire.
Yeah.
With the bear, yeah, he was hesitant. You know, the Thoros and Beric had their fire swords. They set the bear on fire. Maybe that kind of spooked the Hound a little bit. But yeah, he was pretty hesitant there.
Exactly. But your boy Thoros, he almost loses it. They're just whipping out the fire swords like it's no big deal. No one's even questioning it.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one questioned it. And then even later when they, you know, used it to light the dead body, I'm surprised no one was like, wait, like, you can do that this whole time? Like, well, we've been freezing our ass off.
Yeah, so, what
like,
the fuck?
But yeah, so this fight with this bear, first off, you see it in the distance and, like, you know, I wasn't sure what it was. I thought, you know, I said, all right, it's a bear, it's a wolf. In the back of my mind, I was just like, because there's been rumors of an ice dragon all season. And we get closer, we see it's a White Walker animal, it's got blue eyes, and then we see it's a bear. And that bear was vicious, man. That was a beast.
It was a beast. It's not just a bear. It was a monster, dude. It was a big hoss.
Yeah, and, you know, the fire swords were kind of the main weapon that helped take him down, but they really had to gang up and get him. And he took out Thoros pretty good there. And
he just spits on it, though.
Yeah, he did. There was some banter there afterward between Thoros and Jorah. And Jorah said, you know, when you charged in at Pike, you know, I thought you were the bravest man I've ever seen. And Thoros, he says, nah, I was just the drunkest. He says, I don't even remember doing that.
He was just jacked up.
He was hammered.
Which you love to see. So let's keep rolling through it, because, I mean, it would keep the energy level high. At the 34-minute mark is when we get eyes on White Walkers. I remember I typed out in the notes here saying 34 minutes in, we've got nothing. And boom, then we get eyes. We get eyes on not just White Walkers, but not just Waits or White Walkers or Whites or whatever, but like the big dogs, like, you know, the Night King and all the boys. So it's like it's game on. And he says, And John says, like, where the hell's the rest of them or whatever? And they make the exact decision, like, we ain't waiting for shit. Like, let's go. And so they put them in a pinch pretty much. So take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, they spotted the whites, and they had this little plan, I guess, that they hatched to catch one. And I mean, we discussed last week how crazy this plan was, like, on paper, just saying it out loud, like, yeah, we're going to go up there and catch one. But I guess this was probably the best case scenario, was to find, like, a small clan of them, as opposed to, like, a giant army. So they found a couple of them, they spotted them. Like, this is best case scenario, basically.
Yeah.
And they set the trap. They set their little fire. They hid. They, you know, they surrounded them. They bull rushed them. They ganged up on them. And, and you know, they start battling. And, of course, John is just, he's the man. He's the leader. He goes right after the White Walker while everyone else is fighting these, you know, undead skeletons. He's going after the White Walker. Maybe it's because he had the Valyrian steel sword. Like, I don't know what everyone else was fighting with.
Dude, how about the fact that, what's his name? Jorah Mormont is fighting with, like, little daggers, dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know how that works, but...
he's fighting with, like, little twigs.
That's his weapon of choice, I guess. I don't know.
It was insane.
But yeah, so Jon's got his Valyrian steel sword. He's going after the White Walker. Takes him out pretty handily. I mean, I guess... I'm not even gonna say he put up a good fight. Like that was textbook Jon Snow. Like he
carving up.
He was better. Yeah, the better
like
man
you read won. About.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, so second White Walker that he's killed. Everyone I was with, we cheered just as loudly as we did the first time he killed one. And so that was exciting. But then big takeaway here, and Jorah noted it later in the episode, was that once Jon killed the White Walker, almost all the other Whites died.
Yes.
Like right away.
Yes.
And you know they saved the one. They caught him, but that's huge.
It's
that
huge.
That killing a White Walker, basically, what we're the inference that you have to make here is that killing a White Walker kills all of the undead that specific White Walker brought back to life.
Yeah. So break it down real quick for those who like don't really understand, like you know, White Walker. They think everyone's a White Walker and shit like that. Just break it down real quick.
So the White Walkers are the ones who are, you know, they're white. They got the bright blue eyes, the white flowing hair, most of them, big like ice swords basically, and they're different from the Whites, which the Whites are like the zombies that the Walkers bring back to life.
Yeah, just like the skeletons, pretty much.
The Walkers we've seen were created by the Children of the Corn, Children of the Forest. Wow, the children, and. Jeez, that was a bad slip up, and so that's how they were created. They were created from men, basically, and so they're different from the Whites. Now, after Jon kills the White Walker,
the guy with the flow,
they're strapping down this White that they're going to bring home. You know, they gang up on it, they tackle it, they got rope, they got a bag. But that thing screams, just a piercing, blood-curdling scream.
Blood-curdling, for sure.
And
next you know, the bad boys are wheeling.
Yeah, you hear a change in the wind, like, you know, almost like thunder, basically.
Yeah.
And John notices it. He's looking around, and he says, you know, Gendry, get out of here, man. Like, go, send a raven, get out of here.
He wants to stay.
Yeah, Gendry wanted to fight, and... And he says, you're the fastest. Get out of here. And he'd send a raven to Daenerys. John knows. Well, I mean, he's seen the Army of the Dead. He understands where they're at right now. And he says, in his mind, he says, there's no way we get out of this without dragons. Exactly. At least I think that's what he said. I mean, otherwise, yeah, there was no way for them to get out if dragons didn't show up.
Exactly. And he knows it. And he makes the call to the reinforcements, which is a necessary call here. But
he sends Gendry. He's got the fresh legs, the youngin.
The young boy.
They take his warhammer. The hound's slinging that thing around. And
he's off. He's world's fastest man.
Yeah, he's off. He's the fastest kid alive. We see a lot of we got a lot of tweets flying in here from people saying that, you know, some GOAT nominees for Gendry for just being fast as hell, getting out of there. We got people saying, you know, that he was the Flash, he was Usain Bolt, Svesky a lot. He was huge, you know?
He did.
First off, he ran to exhaustion, you know? He literally falls right at the feet of the wall.
Yeah, they bring him in.
Let's
pause there. Let's pause there because the tweets that we said, the tweets are flying in. Just, we always put out the poll for reaction to the episode. I can't see the poll right now, but you can. I'm assuming it's just extremely rave reviews.
Let me pull it up real quick.
So yeah, every week we send out, you know, initial reaction poll for the episode. Who do you think had the best episode? Who do you think had the worst episode? What was the best moment? What was a moment you could live without? And we'll get to our selections a little later in the pod, obviously, as we continue to review, recap, react here on Right After Thrones. For everyone listening live right now, you can always listen on SoundCloud throughout the week as well as Apple Podcasts. We tweet out the link. And let's keep rolling here. So what do we got?
So yeah, so this poll that we sent out 20 minutes ago, we're already up to 200 votes, and 59% saying that the initial reaction to the episode, 59%, oh, it just changed on me, sorry, but still, 57%, over 50% saying that it is amazing, one of the best.
I agree.
We got 30% coming in at high quality Game of Thrones. 8% saying average, 5% saying poor.
That's fake news. You're
liars. That was a phenomenal episode.
It was amazing. And this is, a lot of times what happens is, as we, you know, we're right after Thrones here and we're reacting live, and you get hyped up, you feel energized because you just saw the episode, and then, you know, tomorrow morning wake up and say, all right, that, you know, you put it back where it should be. When you take emotion out of it, this man, this was top of the line. I think it's legitimately one of the best episodes ever.
Yeah, I mean, there's just,
it was so consequential. Everything that happened, you know,
it was action-packed, and it had some moving and shaking going on in Winterfell. It had some great banter, some great dialogue,
and it had just huge consequences.
It had some great, the implications with Jon, with Daenerys, with the dragons, with the Night King. I mean, that's big picture stuff. That's endgame.
It's so macro. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's out of control. So they send Gendry out. Wow. And you're thinking like, dude, he's got a scoot. He's got a boogie. And then, you know, then they start panning over to a few other scenes. And the Hound fucks up, dude. The Hound fucks up.
Oh, wait. Well, yeah. I mean, well, first Thoros, they... They burn Thoros. He's frozen to death. You know, pour one out for Thoros.
We hardly know him. R.I.P. Yeah.
So, you know, we see, you know, the Night King, the Four Horsemen. They are present. It seemed like they were kind of far at the beginning, and then I guess they got really close at the end. So they're there observing what's going on. We got, you know, the squad.
They are in a freaking jam.
The squad's,
man,
on this kind of island, and there's, you know, a frozen lake, and the whites surround them, but, you know, a lot of the ice broke, so that's why they didn't come and get them. So yeah. Apparently, you know, I don't know how long they were there, but overnight it seemed the ice refroze, and we see that because the Hound, idiot, aggressive Hound, he's chucks a rock.
Fuck this, over, man!
I don't know what he was. What are you even doing?
No, just upside, dog.
Yeah, he's just bored. You know, he's a dog. And, he throws a rock, hits one of the whites in the jaw, knocks his jaw off. So that was cool.
Facial.
He throws it again. He comes up short, and the ice doesn't break. And that's when everyone realizes, you know, even these mindless zombies realize.
Yeah, they,
you know,
put two and two together.
Yeah, oh shit, like it's frozen again. Like, we can walk on it. So slowly they start getting closing in on him.
It's a freaking pinch,
and
dude.
By this point, we know that the Raven has been sent to Daenerys from Castle Black. You know, there were some cutaways and whatnot, but, you know, Daenerys received the Raven, and she's on her way. So we know this at this point, but they don't know this at this point.
No.
And, jeez, I mean, there's just so much going on with this battle scene.
It's a big take. I want to get, before we go battle, one more big takeaway is a discussion had between Beric and Jon. And Beric's just getting huge in, like, the sentimental theology you know, Lord of Life.
Yeah, he's getting real, real theological, philosophical. You know, what is life all about?
Yeah.
We came back. What is our purpose? You know, he's getting philosophical.
And he says that, like, when they're discussing the fact that, you know, whoever lifted up these, whoever brought these dead people and made them undead, that when that happens, they die. They, you know, everyone who was lifted up dies. So we got to kill that guy up there. We got to kill the Night King. And they kind of pander it for a second. And John's like, nah, you don't understand how it works. But he's kind of like, yeah, like F it. Like, you know, I died six times. Like, let's roll. Like, I will go after the Night King. And they just don't go for it.
Like, they're talking a big game there. And it kind of seemed like, almost for a second, it seemed like they were going to just, you know, go on a suicide mission.
Kamikaze, like, we got
to
kill
this
guy.
Kamikaze. Try to, like, beat this, you know, just, I don't know, run past this wall of whites surrounding them, get to the Night King and the Four Horsemen and kill him. Like, for a second, the way they're talking, they're really hyping that up.
But exactly, but it doesn't come to fruition.
Yeah, it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, fruition. And all right, so go ahead, just roll through it.
So I mean, I'm not going to go through too much of like a play by play here.
Yeah, we all saw
it was amazing. But the big takeaway there. Daenerys shows up, saves everyone's ass. We saw, you know, Tormund. I thought he was going down at one point. The Hound came and bailed him out. You know, I mean, Death Watch. I listed four characters. I had Thoros, Beric, Tormund, and Jorah. I thought those guys were all going down. I thought that they would, you know, we talked on the preview pod, those guys would be the ones that really kind of, you know, were expendable, but would really cut you deep for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so I thought Tormund was going down for sure. The Hound bailed him out, so that was cool. We saw more, you know, random guys. There was like two random guys that both died. And then finally they get bailed out by the dragons. Daenerys comes in. And, yeah, the biggest thing of the whole night was, you know, we see the Night King.
Dude, he is the gunslinger.
He's got his eyes all over these dragons. And part of me is like, you know, has he seen them before? Does he know what they are? Like, it's hard to...
He doesn't tip his hand much.
Yeah, I mean, he plays close to the vest, the Night King. But, yeah, he gets one of these ice spears.
Ice javelins.
And all of a sudden, he's a lot closer than he was before. Man.
Yeah, he's moving and shaking.
And he, you know, first off, John at this point is, I don't know what he's doing.
He's like, hero mode, dude. He's hero balling.
Stupidest thing of the night. Yeah, he is hero mode. And this is what, you know, Daenerys said this earlier in the episode that.
Why she likes Tyrion.
Heroes. Yeah, he says, you're not a hero. Heroes are stupid and they die. And she's totally right. And John is in hero mode, but, like, I don't understand why he's in hero mode. Like, he didn't understand that there was three dragons there that were literally saving everyone's life.
Hosing
like,
down everybody.
There was zero reason for him to go, you know, battle one, two, three whites at a time when the dragons are out taking out 10, 20, 30 at a time.
Like, yeah, and he just, all the dragons got to do is turn his head and it's Jaime Lannister just hose job, like, on everyone around him. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it really did not make sense.
It was the bonehead play of the night, for sure. And they foreshadowed it. They foreshadowed it earlier.
John, I don't know. He's Jon Snow. He's so great. But like that was a woke move. You don't often see woke moves from John, but that was.
But it was such a woke move. He got. Oh my god.
So anyway, John. Yeah,
John's hero ball.
He's trying to take on these guys to be the hero. Says, you know, get out of here, and then he gets taken down. It's so dumb. But, you know, aside from that, we have the Night King. Gunslinger Night King. Cy Young Night King. He's got the javelin.
He gives a Heisman pose before he throws it.
Yeah, he's got a howitzer on that arm there. And he fires this javelin, this spear, and just snipes one of the dragons. And I'm pretty sure that it was Viserion, which is the gold one.
Yeah.
So we still have Rhaegal and Drogon, of course. And just absolutely snipes him. And when he gets hit, he's like, he was kind of like smoking, you know? Like, It wasn't like when Bron, you know, two episodes ago when he speared Drogon with that scorpion spear. It was totally different. It was more similar to when a White Walker gets hit with Valyrian steel, almost how they kind of explode. Like this dragon just kind of started like smoking and went down, and you know, that just shocks everyone.
Everyone is fucking shell-shocked.
That's kind of what makes John say like, "Shit! Like these people gotta get out of here." You know,
they got a wheel, yeah. And another just quick takeaway is like, it's Danny and the guys, and I'm assuming it was Drogon, are like significantly closer than Viserys, and he just goes for the long. He goes for the Hail Mary.
Yeah. He sniped it out of the air when I'm pretty sure they were all sitting down, like loading up the.
They were sitting ducks, and
they were loading up Drogon.
Yeah.
And yeah, why? I don't understand why he went for the aerial shot, but he nailed them.
He went Hail Mary, and it worked.
Show off.
Yeah, it worked to perfection. And I don't know. And I, you know, when he picks up, like when John's fighting him, and they're not face to face, but it's like they're kind of close, and John's like moving away from the dragon, and it's kind of like, is he gonna go after like the Night King? And then like the Night King like brings, and it gets like so badass, doesn't even like pick up the spear himself, just gets the spear handed to him, and he goes for the Hail Mary. But I mean, like, I don't know, they just should have been out of there, man. They should have been wheeling out.
Yeah, I mean, and then when, you know, they finally do wheel out of there, Night King gets another spear. Kind of reminded me, the way he was getting handed spears was like Zeus getting handed lightning bolts, kind of, like Greek mythology there. So he gets handed this second ice spear, and he just narrowly misses Daenerys and her dragon and everyone on there, and that would have just ended the series, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been over.
He connects there, it's over. So
he's batting 500, thank God he's not Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's a 1-for-2 shooter.
50% from the field.
Yeah, and they get out of there and they leave. John
and Danny makes an executive decision in the moment that, and because there is a moment there when, because John is running back to the dragon to load up, to board up shop, and to get out of there after, you know, one dragon's already gotten sniped, he's already fucked up enough, and he's on like go, and like she could wait. And he gets leveled. Jon Snow gets absolutely leveled, and breaks the ice, goes underwater, and Daenerys, you know, doesn't go back for him. They make the move. You know, we're out of here, and they roll out without Jon Snow.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because, you know, like she said earlier in the episode, heroes are stupid and they die, and she knows that. You know, if she's going to be a hero and save Jon, that's not the best move for. You know, the overall mission here. She's got to complete the mission.
Exactly. So they wheel out, and it's, I mean, the music, I mean, even the music was going on because they had the music going with Tormund about to die. And then, you know, it's like, and John is almost like giving up. Like he just sees that they're in such a goddamn pinch from every single side. And it was just, you know, you knew they were going to make it in time, but it was just still such a magical, sensational scene for sure.
Yeah, and then, so, you know, finally, let's just wrap up the boys here, the squad. So finally, John, you know, they're long gone, the dragons, Daenerys, they're gone, mission successful from what we can tell so far, other than dragon died and John was left behind. So then John, you know, he reappears, he resurfaces, kind of amazing. He was, you know, he's weighed down by these undead things trying to kill him under ice, like, you know, freezing cold water. I don't understand it, but it doesn't matter. So John, he resurfaces and he's wounded, and Uncle Benjen shows up, saves his bacon. He's got, you know, that the flaming what do you call that? Like a mace,
it's like a lantern.
It's like a lantern.
It's
that
a weaponized lantern.
And just, you know, they don't even get to have like a moment. It's just real quick. He shows him his face, shows him that he's Uncle Benjen, and puts him on the horse and gets him out of there.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that Benjen would have been a mole for the Night King, because he's just real creepy with like the half dead, half not dead, like crazy shit. But no, he makes the play of the day. And
so, yeah, he put that to rest.
He's GOAT nominee for me.
Definitely a GOAT nominee. That's a GOAT move. He came in, saved the hero of the story.
Exactly.
And John gets back. You know, he went down swinging. He was
martyr. Yeah, he was a total martyr. Love it. And you know, honestly, Benjamin, hop on the source. See if you both can make it, you know.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, we had someone tweeted that in, one of our listeners here, but I'll give him a shout out when I find it. But yeah, I feel like that was pretty unnecessary.
It was like the Titanic where like they both could have fit.
Didn't we see that earlier in the series where Benjamin rode on the horse with Bran and Mira? Didn't that happen?
I think it did. We'll fact check it.
Yeah, it was kind of like Titanic. Like there was clearly room on that horse for another person. I guess he went all in. He said, if John's going to survive, you know, I'm not going to slow him down.
Exactly. So, yes, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Plus, he's kind of in purgatory. Like he was like dead, but not dead. He's alive.
He's not the Uncle Benjamin once.
So, yeah, Uncle Ben. Yeah, he's. He kind of like fulfilled his purpose there, I guess, in his mind.
Exactly. So you know, it's just a nice heartfelt story. He's out of there. So, I mean, where do we go to next? Do you want to? We've got to put a bow on it. They're back. They don't even go all the way back. You think they would just wheel back to Dragonstone?
Well, I think they stop off at the wall. You know, they gotta wait to see if John shows up. He does. He's riding up on his horse. He's, you know, a corpse basically. And you know, they're trying to. He's gotta have hypothermia. He was under that water, you know. So they're trying to warm him up. You know, bring him back. You know, he wasn't dead, but they're trying to, you know, wake him up, bring him back to life. Basically, got him all wrapped up, trying to warm him up. And Daenerys is there, you know, trying to. She's watching over him, and she sees his scars from when he got stabbed in the heart.
Chicks dig the scars, dude.
Chicks dig scars, exactly. Quote Shane Falco. But she, you know, she doesn't say anything about it, but just, you know, seeing those scars, you know, that's got to come up at some point. You know,
you can tell. It moved her, dude. It definitely moved her.
And she has brought it up before. She asked him about it, and he kind of shrugged it off. But she knows now that, you know, he did take a knife in the heart, and I don't know if she understands that he died and came back to life, but, you know, she understands that this is a special guy. And in the end here, before we get to the Ice Dragon, we have we have Dany and John having just a huge conversation here.
Wow.
She says, you know...
I'm getting butterflies thinking about it.
Yeah, right? She says that, you know, she doesn't regret it. John wakes up and he says, I'm so sorry. Like... Are you kidding me, John? Like, that's the first thing you say? Like,
No. I love that. I love that.
What a guy. And she says, you know...
Because he knows...
I'm never going to have children. He's one of my children.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I don't know. And she said that...
It came out twice this episode.
I'm never going to have children because I have dragons. Like...
What the fuck?
And that happened. We'll circle back to it, but when Tyrion and her are talking about succession. But,
yeah.
That was weird. We'll touch on that again. But anyway, she says, you know, I don't regret it. You need to see it. And I've seen it. You know, we are going to take down the Night King together. So that's huge.
They're holding hands, though. Wow.
Yeah. And that's huge that she has. I mean, how could you not after going through what she just went through?
And he killed her. He killed the children. He killed her child.
Yeah. So now she's out for vengeance. She understands what she's up against. It's not just John talking about these crazy stories. Like, she's seen it, she's experienced it, it's hurt her.
Yeah.
So then we have a moment. John calls her Dany.
What the fuck?
And yeah, like the stones on this guy. And you know, no one had called her Dany. She even says, "No one's called me Dany since my brother," and that's not exactly good
company.
You know, because he was a dick.
Yeah. You got the golden helmet though.
Yeah. And so he says, all right, no Dany. And then he says, how about my queen?
Whoa, my God.
He says,
God.
You know, if I could bend the knee right now, I would.
It's insane. For a second there, I thought he meant like, yo, like, let's tie the knot. You know?
I didn't think that. I don't ship John and Daenerys, but, you know, a large sect of the population does. But
exactly.
Anyway, he says he's going to bend the knee, and she says, you know, well, what about your people? And he says, my people, you know, they'll support you. They'll see what you are. So that was a big
moment. She's so like, she's just like swept off her feet by this. She's like visibly emotional. Yeah. Like, this is what she wants. Like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, and not even like a shipping like relationship thing, but it's like everyone who's like seen Daenerys flex her muscles, like in the slightest, has like bent the knee and like been like, we are behind you, we fully support you. Strong people, Tyrion, Varys, Lady Olenna, you know, the people from Dorne, the Sands, you know, Yara, anyone.
She just kind of has that effect on people.
And she didn't have it on Jon, or else, like, you know, she probably did a little bit, but he knew that he stood his ground. And
well,
that
Jon in his own right, he also has that effect on people. Exactly. Where, you know, he's the leader of men, people follow him.
Exactly. But she's just so, this was like the one, like that, this was like the one guy she couldn't get to like bend the knee. Like, it was literally. And now that he's saying he will, she's obviously so, she's visibly emotional, which is, it was a special moment.
Yeah, she really, you know, she earned his respect. She earned this one, as opposed to just, you know, taking it out of fear.
Exactly.
With dragons.
And I mean, it's series changing. I mean, we're recapping the episode, we're reacting right after Thrones here, but I mean, this is just a pivot point in the series. Like,
this is pivotal. Yeah.
This is unbelievable. It's monumental. You know, everything.
Because
go ahead.
Now we have, you know, what we were hoping to get from the beginning of the season when we saw that Jon and Daenerys were going to meet. Now we have it that they're united. They're on the same team.
Common goal.
You know, they have a common goal.
Common
they're
enemy.
Not, there's not even like an awkwardness of, you know, oh, I'm king of the north, you're queen of the, you know, what's up with that?
It's
now
nothing.
It's like, all right, you're the queen. You know, you have my sword. You have my people. Like,
let's do this. So there's one step that we'll get to that needs to happen after this, which we're going to get to a preview. But then it's just Ice Dragon, dude. We talked preseason, little Ice Dragon. Didn't think it might, you know, some people thought it wasn't in the cards. Some people thought it was definitely in the cards. Whatever it may be, it's here. And we're getting Ice Dragon. And we talk about infrastructure on this guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, Thrones just does this sometimes where there's just this bullshit that just happens. But apparently the Night King, he has, you know, with his Night People, he has like these giant chains and some sort of like excavation team, this diving team that can go in and strap these chains to a dragon. And then he's just got these force pulling them out, towing them out. And it's just like, wait,
it's kind of bullshit.
It's kind of like, I honestly would have believed it more if he just like raised his hand or stuck his hand in the water and like the dragon came out alive. Like,
yeah,
having these people pull it out, it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm just taking it too seriously, but that's how Thrones is. They're usually kind of serious with that kind of stuff. Like,
exactly.
You can't just have these giant
dragons. Yeah. You know what, boys? Remember how I made we had those shackles for
right?
In case
we're I'm the Night King. Go to my stash of dragon shackles. It's finally time to use them, you know? Like,
we've had these shackles here for years waiting for the dragons. Let's just tow them out. You know?
Got some shackles in the back.
It is kind of bullshit. You know, and I thought it was just going to kind of be like you said, like he's going to stick his hand in and, you know, the dragon, we'll see like the paw come up or something. But no, like you said, excavation team going down there, strapping the dragon in on the, strapping the dragon corpse. And in the shackles, it's you know, it's a little far fetched to say the least. But regardless, the episode ends with the blue eyes that we've seen many a day.
So yeah, so now, you know, the Army of the Undead has a dragon, and they took down one of her. You know, addition, it was subtraction and addition for them. You know, it was
a double net positive.
Yeah, exactly. It was they took one down, they gained one. That's tough to do. That's tough to compete with there.
Yeah, I mean, Night King go to the week nominee.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, Night King go to the week nominee.
Let's go to that. Let's go.
So,
go ahead.
Let's go to the tweets. Get some of the nominees here.
The tweets have been absolutely flying in.
So we got Kyle Long, the Young Wolf. Got the Night King, All Pro Javelin Team.
Exactly.
I mean, we really have to say, like, look at the Night King's arm with his ice pick javelin compared to the Hound's arm with that stupid rock.
Oh my god!
I mean, I don't know what the distance was, and the Hound made it the first time. So let's say, like, maybe like, I don't know, 200 feet we'll give him, maybe 250.
Fuck
like, and
damn.
that's like a good throw. Like a good throw. I mean, and then the Night King just like, that's like 100 yards.
He's got a hose, dude. It's unbelievable.
Amazing. All right, so some more tweets here and some nominations.
We won't get to them all, obviously, which we feel bad about, but.
Danny Miller saying, Gendry, the man's faster than Usain Bolt. We got Nicholas Smalley saying, the Night King. We have Sende Maria, who has Gendry with a GIF of the Flash. From Z Dunleavy, and he says, Gendry, Ravens, and Drogon, fastest relay team ever. So there you go. You got to give some credit. Not Drogon, Dragons. Fastest relay team ever. That was, that's some rapid response there. That's like the original, like, 911 call.
Yeah.
Like, first responders, you know?
Exactly.
We got David Westfall, GOAT, sadly, the Night King, a literal game-changing event. And it looks like the Wall's toast next week. That's some foreshadowing, a little prediction from him.
Whoa, ew.
We have Amy
dude,
saying,
they have a fucking dragon.
Night King. Go ahead.
They have a dragon, dude.
They have a dragon. Like, just think of the possibilities. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We have Alyssa Marie AV sitting next to me. She's got Daenerys for Go to the Week for coming in, saving John.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect that totally.
We got Danny Rickard 09, one of our friends that left us a nice review on Twitter, saying go Danny, saying that she had the best episode. So yeah, and a lot of support for Danny here. A couple more here because I don't want to go on too long, but
there are so many the tweets have flown.
It's like the most popular choices here basically are Daenerys, the Night King, and Gendry. That's what we have so far. So that is for the greatest of all time of the week, the Go to the Week, the best episode of the week. So a lot of good input from our listeners. Keep it up. You know, we always put the polls at the end of the episode and we put them up for a couple days. So make sure you guys weigh in on Twitter at right after GOT.
And you know, we'll attach the podcast link there as well to that poll.
All right. So some tweets flying in here on Woe to the Week. We have at Matty Ice MC, one of our longtime listeners. He's got Woe to the Week is Westeros because they're in for some shit. That's more like for next week, I guess. But not looking good as a whole for Westeros.
The average citizen of Westeros.
Yeah. We have at Summer Isles 721. So Summer Isles, it's a location in Westeros. Or in Game of Thrones, not Westeros. He says Benjen because he had plenty of time to get on that damn horse. So.
Oh, okay.
Kind of
Benjen could be goat too. I want Benjen to get a goat.
I would say he's more of a goat than a woat, but I would agree that Benjen probably could have gotten on the horse.
Yeah, he played a little hero ball.
We got at AJ Williams News. He says, unpopular opinion, Daenerys, a mother lost her child. So, okay, you know, that's an interesting perspective.
I respect that, and I respect him. He's a great listener. Great listener, great follower.
We have Thoros Amir because, you know, he went out. He got iced. He got smoked this week.
He did get smoked.
And we haven't touched on this yet, but one of our listeners, Rowan Abbott, unpopular opinion, Arya, because she's just making things worse by being a psychopathic creep.
Don't disagree.
More on Thoros. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is, so again, from Z. John Levy says, Woe to the Week. He says the Hound. He says he watches Thoros get mauled. Does nothing.
Correct.
He pisses off the whites and they start attacking.
Correct.
That's two big woke moves there from the Hound.
Absolutely. I don't know. Go ahead.
We have the and Benish says the dragon, which was Viserion. He pulled the Rickon. I don't know if he pulled the Rickon, but he got sniped.
He did get sniped.
We got some more people tweeting in here. Myra Morales saying Sansa. We got D. Gooden saying Sansa.
I wanted to touch on that. Sansa, dude.
We'll get to that. Just a couple more of these tweets here. We'll get to like a couple more people who haven't been mentioned yet. Johnny Elmer coming in with Tyrion. Not a great episode for Tyrion overall. I mean, it wasn't like hugely awful, but just we expect better from him, you know?
Yeah, but he's going to get his sit down that he wants.
Yeah, exactly. We see that for next episode. So that's it for right now. We'll make sure that we get our top four nominees in the poll after the episode. So for now, let's jump back into some recap reaction, the storylines that we haven't touched on yet.
What an episode. Goddamn, fantastic episode. 71 minutes. I'll just go a few just logistics here. 9:06 start time, but we knew we were getting 71 minutes, so we were okay with that. Like I just said, 71 minutes. Just we're getting 81 minutes next week. A short film, pretty much. Very much looking forward to it. And, you know, tonight lived up to the hype for sure. Now, there's a long-standing tradition that the episode before the finale is always, you know, a lot more action-packed than the finale. You know, that was kind of a lot more prevalent in the beginning of the series. But, you know, we'll see what happens next week. But I just think fantastic episode.
Yeah, and so let's jump in here.
Yeah, let's jump non, the boys wheeling up north storyline.
So let's get to, we'll talk Daenerys and Tyrion a little bit here. Because, you know, they had some important interactions, as we already briefly mentioned. So we talked a lot that they talked about heroes. You know, she likes Tyrion because he's not a hero. Heroes are stupid and they die.
Yes.
And then Tyrion calls her out. It's so interesting you mentioned those heroes. Drogo, Jorah, Dario, and Jon Snow. Three men who are in love with you.
Who fell in love with you.
Who fell in love with you. And she's like, Jon Snow's not in love with me. And Tyrion's saying,
not so fast.
Yeah, that's what you think.
So yeah, he's sensing that for sure.
I don't like that at all, but I mean, I can't argue with it. But
it's factual. I just don't like it. Yeah, I know. I just don't like it. I know how you feel.
she's his aunt. It's improper.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so then you know they're getting real into this conversation about, you know, the way things have been going so far for them, and Tyrion is talking about, you know, Aegon built the wheel. And if you want to break the wheel, you need to make sure it stays broken. You know, who is going to make sure it stays broken? Basically, is what he's saying. And she again mentions, I'm not having any children. And just had a little research here done over on my end.
Some more interns.
Yeah, one of our interns over here. Shout out, intern Alyssa. And so basically, when
she got burned up.
Not when she got burned up. It was. Well, similar, but when that witch, Miriam's daughter when she kind of like cursed her womb, basically.
Yes, I do remember.
That when she had the stillborn, when Rhaego, she had the stillborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, you know, can I ever have children? And her response was, you know, when the sun rises in the, hold on, let me get this right, in the east. No, it does rise in the east. When it rises in the west and sets in the east, you know, basically told her, you know, you're screwed. Like, you're never going to have children.
You're shit out of luck, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what happened there. That's why she's basically, she said, you're infertile. You can't have children. So that's why she's saying that, you know, I'm never going to have children because I can't.
And that's common knowledge to Tyrion, too. So it's like, it's not like a big secret.
Yeah, and that's why Tyrion's pressing her so much on, you know, who is going, you know, there were so many arrows that could have hit you. Like, what if something happens to you? Who is going to, you know, who's next in the line of succession for the crown?
Yeah, and it's prevalent in this interaction that, one, Tyrion cares a great deal about Dany, but he also cares probably even more so about her mission and, you know, pretty much like her whole mantra about like breaking the wheel and like fixing and like changing Westeros for the better. He's all in on that.
He has good intentions and he sees the long game, the big picture that, you know, we need to make sure that this is a lasting change.
It's not just a fad, yeah.
It's not just, you know, the reign of Daenerys is over. It's time to, you know, have a shitty Westeros again.
Exactly. So. And she calls him out. You're thinking way too long term. We'll figure this out later. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. If you were thinking more short term, maybe we wouldn't have got smoked. We'd have Dorne and we'd have Lady Olenna and we'd have everything going right, but we don't.
Exactly. And that's what she's saying, you know.
Get your head in the freaking game, dude.
Yeah, let me take the crown, take the throne first before we worry about who I give it to after, you know.
Exactly. We'll pick up the ruins once we get there.
And, I mean, just to pause for a second. Who do you think, as it stands right now, let's say she takes the crown and then dies somehow, who do you think is next in line in succession right now? This is a tough question, but it just kind of came to me. And, you know, Tyrion is her hand.
Yeah.
So, like, is that like a vice president? Like, the vice president takes it. She has no children. Like, is he next in line? Like,
I don't know.
I don't think people are going to follow him.
I know.
He's a little guy. He's in his head.
He's a backroom guy, yeah.
I mean, the way it stands now, after this episode, maybe she gives it to Jon.
But, yeah.
I don't know. But it's just something to ponder on for, you know, the next week, the next – in the off season, I guess, you know, it's just something to ponder on because until they address it.
It's great food for thought.
Oh, so, and then the last scene we get with Tyrion and Daenerys together.
Tyrion says, do nothing, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyrion says, you know, he's freaking out because she's saddling up. She's ready to go.
She's got the stormtrooper coat on.
She's ready to be a hero. And, you know, heroes do stupid things and die. And she just said this to Tyrion, and Tyrion is like, you know, you don't have to do this. You can do nothing.
He tells her to do nothing.
Yeah, and she says, you know, you told me this before. I'm not doing nothing.
She's out of here. You just know there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, and but, you know, you look at it, obviously she had consequences. She lost her dragon, then I can't gain a dragon. But I think this was a good move on her part to ignore Tyrion because he hasn't been doing well. He's on 100% on the hot seat. Like, he's in trouble, man. He's not giving good advice to her, and that's what he's supposed to do. He's the advice guy.
Yeah, he's supposed to be, exactly. That's his job, essentially, his advisor. And so, yeah, I mean, it sucks because she loses the dragon, but I mean, like, for the series and honestly for Dany's, like, story and the character arc, like, it's good that she went up and, like, saved the boys.
Because yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Now it's just she's seen everything, you know. She totally changed her mindset for six and a half, well, seven, almost pretty much seven and a half seasons. It's been, I need to take the Iron Throne. I need to take the Iron Throne. I need to take the Iron Throne. Now it's 100% not, and you know she loses the dragon, and that's like kind of just the, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. Not as seeing it, and as well as losing the dragon, it's just like you don't want to mess with the, you know, the mother of dragons.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think now maybe she'll be, you know, she's definitely going to go out for vengeance, but I think now maybe she'll understand that she needs to be a little more careful, especially up and around the Night King.
Because she has not taken many losses. I mean, she obviously had a few losses early this season, but before that, it was all win.
But she's always had that dragon trump card that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so I lost this battle, or I'm losing this battle, but guess what? I have dragons, and now I'm going to win. So
exactly. And every time she flexed the muscles of the dragon, she hasn't lost.
Yeah. So, and I wouldn't say this was a loss, but
it was, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like they completed their mission, and you know,
without consequence. It was a huge consequence.
But losing a dragon is it's a huge blow.
So let's go up to Winterfell. Then we'll put a bow on everything. You know, we'll talk a little bit about next week, what the implications are. Get the tweets out. But man, the Winterfell dynamic has been turned on its head, and we thought that it wouldn't happen this fast. But pace. We've been saying it all season. The Winterfell pace is matching everything else tonight.
Yeah, and this Winterfell pace. We even see towards, you know, the beginning of the Winterfell scenes, Sansa says, you know, I haven't heard from Jon in weeks. So, like, it makes you think how much time has gone by since he's been there, since she's seen him. You know, like, I feel like he probably should have stopped by there at some point.
Say what's up.
When he's making his way up to the wall. But I guess he was going to East Watch, and that was by the sea as opposed to, you know, Castle Black.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's get to Winterfell because things have changed a lot. And you know, we talked about it on the preview pod, what's Arya going to do with this scroll she found? You know, how is she going to play her cards?
They wasted no time telling us.
Yeah, the show wasted no time and she wasted no time. And she kind of played coy a little bit to start.
Yes.
She was, you know, kind of questioning Sansa a little bit. And then she...
This long story about Ned.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Long story about Ned, and she, you know, she's basically trying to say, like, I loved Father, Father loved me, he knew what I was doing was right, and, oh, by the way, you know, you killed Father. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. With your help, they, you know, and now he's dead.
Yeah, with your help, the Lannisters killed Father. And, You know, she's got this scroll, Sansa. You know, this is exactly, I feel like this is exactly what Littlefinger wanted. Like, he couldn't have asked for a better way for this to play out for him. He's got, you know, Arya's aggressive and angry with Sansa and is questioning her motivation, questioning her, you know, everything about Sansa. She's calling her out and, you know, saying you're afraid that the Northern Lords are going to turn on you and, you know, you didn't have a knife to your neck when they wrote this. You know, I would have rather died. You know, what is Lady Mormont going to say? She's younger than you were.
She's giving her the straight business.
Yeah, and she's not wrong.
No, not entirely.
Yeah, like I can't agree with her completely, but as far as, you know, saying that the Northern Lords aren't going to like this, Lady Mormont was younger, like that's facts. Like,
that's straight facts.
And then she wraps it up saying, you know, something about like, you know, you let fear motivate your actions. I'll go with anger.
Exactly.
You know, to motivate mine.
The other discovery in the conversation was I don't even know if you mentioned this, but as I was looking at tweets, was that Arya was there when Ned died.
Yes, yeah, that came up. Was that in the first conversation? Or the
that's actually brought
that
it
was,
up.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that was the first conversation. And that was kind of...
Like, you were there, and she's kind of... She's a good comeback. Like, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you step up? Like, you're talking big-ass game here, Arya. Like, what? Like, you didn't do shit either. Like, we were kids.
Exactly.
We were kids.
And you know, from Arya's perspective, she says, you know, Sansa, you were there with your pretty dress, your pretty hair. You know, you watched father die, basically. And, like, that is where, you know, I got to draw the line there and start defending my girl Sansa here.
Yeah.
Like, what is she supposed to do?
Yeah,
like,
Arya's being such a
what
dick.
What are you talking about, Arya? Like, what is she supposed to do?
Yeah. Like, dive on the sword for him, too? Like, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Arya is psycho ball on it. Big time. And, yeah.
So then let's keep progressing through Winterfell here. We get Sansa talking to Littlefinger.
Dude, this is bullshit, dude. This is bullshit.
Exactly what Littlefinger wanted. She's, you know, button heads with Arya, runs right to him. And they're, you know.
Piss me off.
Yeah, definitely. This is what he does, man. And so they're you know, kind of.
Brandon Rapp knows it all too well.
They're discussing, you know, siding against Arya, what's she going to do? And. The big quote I wrote down here was that Sansa says, I don't know her anymore. Like, I don't know what she's capable of. I don't know what she's going to do.
Well, she's not wrong.
Yeah, she doesn't know her. She's crazy. And then Baelish brings up Lady Brienne. Says, you know, she could help you out here. She took an oath to your mother to protect both of her daughters. So if, you know, one of them was trying to kill the other one, she would have to step in.
Yes.
But we saw that Arya and Brienne were pretty evenly matched, although you could even say that Arya won that little sparring bout they had. So
yeah, it's not exactly a Brienne could come in and, you know, turn a switch and it's game over for Arya.
But
then and then Sansa does something I'm puzzled by with the Brienne, how she handles the Brienne situation in the letter from King's Landing.
So, yeah, that's the next thing we see is Sansa is invited to King's Landing. And, I didn't write this down, but did they mention, like, what exactly it was for? I guess they're just inviting, like, the Northern Lord down, and since she's the, you know, the Queen of the North right now. So she's the one that's being summoned, being invited. And Sansa is like, no, I'm definitely not going there again.
As long as Cersei's there.
Yeah, as long as Cersei's there, I'm not going there again. She can come up and take me herself. She wants to send Brienne there.
Why?
And that's a very, very questionable move. And Brienne makes some great points. She says, you know, you're not safe here. You're not safe with, you know, Lord Baelish. You know, you don't think he's talked to the Northern Lords, to the guards, you know, made deals with them behind your back? Like, you don't think he's capable of that? And Sansa is not having any of it. She just gives her straight sass right back and says, you know.
She's sassing Brienne.
Says, you know, guess what, Brienne? It's a long journey. You better get started.
Like, you're going to be late. What?
Yeah. Maybe you'll make it before the winter comes. Like,
what? Why is she doing that?
I don't know why she did that to Brienne. That was very Cersei-like. I don't, you know.
And it was just puzzling. It was just dumb in my opinion.
Yeah, Sansa's... She's got tendencies that she's learned from Cersei. She's got tendencies she's learned from little from queen. Baelish, you know, and yeah, she's got a lot of.
It's a dumb move, dude.
I don't know if it's character flaws, but she's just got a lot of things about her, some negative character traits about her, you know.
And but it's just weird. It was coming right off the on the heels of them saying like, let's use Brienne to our advantage. You know?
Yeah. It was, yeah, the last we saw was her saying, you know, Lady Brienne will help you against Arya, and then she sends Lady Brienne away. So that was very, that didn't make much sense.
Yeah, that was a little, that was a head scratcher for sure. And then just put a bow on it because there's, shit gets even more squirrely.
Oh, man. This, you know, I always get confused with, like, when they don't explain the magic stuff, and this was a brief explanation, a little bit of explanation, but, you know, Sansa is, I guess spying on Arya a little bit and finds her
recon mission.
Finds her bag of faces.
What the fuck?
And they're literally like they look like a mask you would get at the Halloween store.
Yeah, party.
Except they're like flimsy kind of, you know. But when Arya puts them on, she becomes that person. She even says, you know, I can speak in their voice. I can live their life. Like that's kind of, you know.
That's her tell. Like she tells.
Yeah, that's her thing. And she says,
Sansa's like, what are you
talking
about?
She comes clean. Go ahead.
I'm seeing Sansa saying, like, what are you talking about? Like, what are these faces? What is going on?
Yeah. And she comes clean. She says, you know, I trained to be a faceless man. You know, I have these faces. I can be these people. All I need. And she's like threatening her, basically. She grabs her the knife that Bran gave her that was Littlefinger's, says, you know, all I need is their face. Like, I wonder what it would be like to wear your pretty dresses, you know? Like,
it's psycho ball, man.
That was some psychopath shit. And then she hands the knife to Sansa and walks out. And that was enough. That's just, she's going crazy,
it's
man.
It's even more like, psychopathic.
Oh, man. Like, basically, she shows her cards to Sansa. Lets her know what she's capable of, although I still don't even know if Sansa understands that.
I don't see any upside of explaining to her anyway.
But, yeah, she's got the faces, and all she has to do is, you know, surgically remove them. And that's how we're left with Sansa.
And wonderful. And it's just a bad episode for both of them, I think. It's just macro takeaway. And it seems so insignificant because of the big... like the big grander scheme things that went down. But it's like just a bad episode for both. Arya's going more psycho. Sansa's like cage is getting rattled and she's just like not reacting how you would want like a leader to react. She's like frazzled, making rash decisions. She's like kind of like falling towards Littlefinger for advice. In a tough situation, like it's just not good for either of them. Honestly, it's only good for Littlefinger. Brienne's out of there, you know. But it just like I don't even see like the role. Like it's tough to watch an episode like this, be so mesmerized by the huge battle and the huge battle, as well as you know the big takeaway that Dany is all in on this fight against the White Walkers and they're going to be sitting down at the negotiation table next week. And it's just tough to see like how, like anything, like these little like maneuvers that Littlefinger makes, like how, like there's even going to have any relevance in the grand scheme, but I feel like it just has to, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we saw the preview for next week, which, you know, well, that'll be the very last thing we touch on is, preview for next week, or we might even just push that to our preview pod. But we saw that there's, you know, a meeting of the minds, basically, you know, this armistice that they have. Everyone is going down to what seems like King's Landing to meet. You know, we saw Daenerys, Cersei,
John.
You know, John, and you have to assume that, well, not Sansa, but, you know, Brienne's down there. She's making her way down there, and, you know, What is Littlefinger going to do to get a seat at that table, basically, is what I'm thinking. Like, he knows he belongs there as a playmaker, or at least, you know, he belongs there in his mind.
Yeah.
As, you know, he's loving the chaos that's happening so far with all these great houses of Westeros, you know? So. Yeah.
And he loves like the he's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers. Like life that he lives, which is great and all. But I just don't see right now where the position he's at, how like it plays into like the grandiose, you know, meeting of the minds and or White Walker fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess we probably won't see until next season.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know, but yeah. But so far, I mean, some talking going forward.
Yeah,
it seems like you know, Cersei is going to stay on the Iron Throne.
Yeah,
100%. Season, she's not going to die, as you know, I predicted. So that was a miss there, and you know, Vegas was right. But yeah, there's a lot going on next week, and we'll discuss it in our preview pod. But for now, unless there's anything else you want to discuss about the episode, maybe we can get to some quotes later. But do you want to run down Goat and Woad of the Week?
Yeah, you got a pen and paper there?
Yeah, I got it here. So some nominees and...
Who had the best episode? Who had the worst episode?
Run through the tweets one more time. But, okay. All right, so we got Gendry, Daenerys, the Night King... I'm going to throw Littlefinger on there because everything is going his way right now in terms of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
This is for GOAT, for the greatest of the all time of the week. We got some people tweeting in. We got one here, Jorah Mormont, saying that he killed the bear and put some moves on the whites all with his little daggers. So potentially Jorah, we'll see. I feel like... Yeah, I feel like the biggest ones we had here were just that top four, were Gendry, Daenerys, the Night King, and then I threw Littlefinger on there. So I think those might be the top three. The top four that we go with.
Yeah, I might fight for a Benjen spot after the show.
Oh, I forgot about Benjen.
Yeah,
throw Benjen on there. I feel like we gotta have Benjen on there. Yeah. So all right, we'll
finagle it after.
We'll narrow that down and get a tweet out there. And now for Woad, we have a lot of options for Woad right now. So we go Sansa, we go Arya, we go the Hound.
Yes.
Thoros, R.I.P. Viserion.
Yes.
And Tyrion.
Or Jon, dude.
I feel like he can't throw Jon on there, though. Just because, yeah, he made one bad move, but he does so much good, you know?
He does, but he just fucked it. Like, they should have been wheeling out, man. And he just tried. He was playing hero ball. I hate it. But I understand why he's not going to be on there.
Yeah. So those are our options. We're going to have to narrow both Goat and Woad down to four for the poll. So be on the lookout for that after the episode.
Some people tweeting in their best, their favorite and worst favorite, like moments of the episode. People saying Arya Sansa face off was kind of lame. Don't necessarily disagree with that. It was just seemed so minuscule in a episode with such great, you know, events with such huge magnitude. Locker room talk at the beginning was all time. Totally agree with that. The spear was 92, 96 with some side run. Easy cheese. Guys throw guys in the wrong business. Talking about the Night King. So love that tweet. Pretty much saying, you know, he's just.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a hose and he's also got a great arm. So he's good. Good for him.
Good for him. No Bran. I think people are either liking that or not liking it. I'm not sure. We were loving No Bran for certain. So Arya, everyone's saying they're kind of over the Arya Sansa feud. It does seem a little forced. Some the people liking the monster babies quote from that Tormund about him and Brienne's kids.
Oh yeah. That was great.
Scene between Sansa and Brienne. Yeah, that was just kind of weird. Why would she send her away? That was from Rowan Abbott as well. She might actually need her with Arya. Yeah, I hated that. I just, you know, it was a character we kind of like. We have a soft spot for with everything she's been through with Sansa, and she just went in full bitch mode, honestly. Didn't like the shticky, now I call you Danny out of nowhere part. Too much rom-com. Didn't believe it. You agree with that, right?
I agree with that. With whoever said that.
That was so Patty much, Pilsen.
Like, why would John just all of a sudden call her Danny? She said, no one's called me that since my brother, so why would he feel like that's an appropriate thing to say to her? Like, no one has called her that. I don't know.
That as well as the dragon shackles, chains, that those are two kind of just, like, far-fetched, like, leaps at like, reality, which wouldn't really happen, honestly.
Yeah.
And then last one here is Connor Hackling saying, everyone saw this 4 days ago. Wow. Don't like that at all.
Cool, man.
This guy's the man. You know what? You're getting blocked, bro. That guy's out of here. So, yeah.
We're firm believers in waiting till Sunday. If you can't wait till Sunday, that's a you problem, man.
That's a you problem for certain. So that guy's blocked. Sayonara. anything else you want to get to before we shut this thing down, dude? The preview pod is going to be fucking fantastic. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it should be a great preview pod.
Pick that up.
Hopefully, fingers crossed that there's no spoilers, no leak this week. I can't take that. I hate that.
It sucks. We're walking on eggshells on all over Twitter.
Yeah. I was trying. We weren't as active on Twitter this week as usual, but you know, with good reason. I'm glad I didn't get spoiled on anything. I was happy about that.
I know a few people who did get spoiled, unfortunately.
Any last things? Death Watch. You know, had a pretty substantial death watch this week, rightfully so. And we hit on Thoros, but the other guys survived. Didn't think a dragon was going down this week, so that was huge. But other than that, I'm good to sign off when you are.
Yeah, looks like go ahead.
Quick shout out on the Mixler page to Bernie Man out in Hawaii. Aloha to him.
Aloha, as well as his goat and woat were Sansa and the Hound, Little League arm strength for Woat. So he loves the fact that Bran was on in the episode as well. Appreciate the Hawaiian support and everyone else who's been listening live right now. Looks like we're getting a monster negotiation next week and just a game planning strat. You know, we'll preview it as well in the midweek preview pod, but I think it's going to be one for the ages, you know, as far as season finales go. So anything else? We'll shut it down right here. Over an hour.
Yeah, man, this is a great episode, and I can't wait to, you know, watch it again, talk about it this week, the preview, and wrap up the finale next week.
Absolutely. So, everyone, we really appreciate you listening here. We're shutting it down here at 11:35 p.m. Eastern after episode 6 of Season 7, Beyond the Wall. Thank you very much for listening live. If you're listening on the podcast, feel free to subscribe, rate, review, retweet the tweets. Get it out there. Tell your brother. Tell your whole rest of your family to listen in. Friends and family, we appreciate it. Curry, you all good?
Yeah, man. I'll see you next week.
See you midweek. Preview pod.
This week. Yep.
All right, brother. See you.